Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Welcome to The Athletic Mind, your go-to podcast for maximizing your mental game. I'm your host, Taylor Cook, a mental performance coach and a former professional hockey goalie. Join me for open conversations about mental health, mindset, and performance. Let's get into it. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Athletic Mind. I'm your host, Taylor Cook, and this episode is unfortunately coming to you a little bit later than anticipated, as it's already Tuesday, and usually they come out on Mondays, but it's honestly been super crazy the last couple of weeks with the end of the season, booking flights to go back to Canada for a little visit, which I'm really excited about, and also keeping up with everything else going on in terms of work and projects that are happening outside of the podcast and outside of work. So I appreciate you taking the time to still tune in on this Tuesday and talk everything about thriving under playoff pressure or just pressure in general. So, as always, before we get into the content today, we're going to go through our pregame warm-up. So, if you have not yet left a rating and review for the podcast, please take a couple minutes out of your day to go ahead and do that now. This really does help the podcast grow and reach new listeners just like you. And that is what my goal is to be able to provide value to athletes of all ages, backgrounds, genders, ethnicities, etc., etc. So please go ahead, leave your rating, and if you feel so inclined, to please leave us a nice review as well. If you're not already following along on social media, you can do that by following at TaylorBCook_. You can do this on Instagram, TikTok, and now on Twitter as well. I'm not very active on Twitter yet. We're working on how to figure that out. But nonetheless, you can still find me on Twitter too. Lastly, if you're an athlete and you want to step up your game, or maybe you are a coach and you're looking to improve the experience that you're providing for your athletes, you can learn more at www.taylor-minds.com, and you can see the show notes for the direct link. So for most athletes, at least in the hockey world, your season has either just ended or you are still in playoffs or maybe about to start playoffs. And I know last year, Lauren and I had did a segment, or had recorded a segment on playoff pressure and how to work with pressure rather than having it work against you. And so I did want to quickly take some time today to revisit this idea of how to perform, or really how to thrive under pressure as an athlete, regardless of what sport you're playing. But of course, we're going to be talking more in hockey context as usual. So, I mean, let's think about it, all right? Like when we think of pressure, oftentimes what comes to mind is like a really big game. Maybe it's a championship game, maybe a rivalry game, and all of the kind of emotions that come along with it. So for a lot of people, it's kind of like butterflies or a little bit of anxiety. And, you know, sometimes it's like this fear of failure and the unknowns and kind of focusing on the outcome rather than the process of getting to the outcome that we're looking to achieve. And so one of the important things is going to be actually taking a moment to really define what pressure is and the psychological impacts that it can have on athletes. So The definition that I came across specifically for psychological pressure is defined as any factor or combination of factors that increases the importance of performing well on a particular occasion. So this was taken from the psychological pressure on athletes during matches and practices article, and this is cited by Baumeister from 1984. And so I think it's very evident from this definition that pressure is actually the meaning that we're giving to the event that we're about to perform. So basically, the importance of the event that you're about to play. So if this is a championship game, or if this is a high stakes game, or this could be more like an internal pressure based on like how you feel you're going to be viewed, or fear of judgment, or fear of failure, these types of things. And so it clearly is showing, regardless of what the game is, that pressure is an internal experience that occurs based on the meaning that we're attributing to that specific event. So in reading this article, they had some lab-based studies that showed that psychological pressure can significantly impair performance. And these studies also found that performance was negatively affected by psychological pressure that was intentionally induced by the researchers. And this included, you know, rewards, punishments, the importance of success, social evaluation, public expectations, and other combinations of these factors. And so the study argued that since athletes encounter numerous types of psychological pressure, that there should be preparations and countermeasures to help athletes manage these types of pressures, whether that be in game or in training performance. So in this instance, it's quite evident that there are multiple different factors that come into play when we're talking about psychological pressure and athletes being able to perform under that pressure. So when it comes to actually being able to cope with pressure and build out strategies to help athletes better prepare and better manage how they perform under these types of pressure situations, it will definitely come back to where that pressure is actually coming from in the first place. Because you're not going to be able to, let's say, prescribe, in air quotes, prescribe a specific strategy to an athlete who's struggling with performing under pressure because they're, you know, more focused on the importance of success and have a bit of a fear of failure, versus someone who is much more concerned with the social evaluation aspect and what their family or friends or coach or teammates are going to think if they are not performing up to par. So first, good to understand what pressure is, what psychological pressure is, and the different contributing factors to this. And then it's also, again, going to be important to understand the physiological responses to pressure. So some of this is, you know, increased heart rate, adrenaline release, muscle tension. But I would really like to read a small piece from my favorite book that I always recommend to all my athletes, which is Mind Gym by Gary Mack. If you haven't already read it, if you have heard me talk about it and you still haven't like got it on audiobook or something, definitely go buy the book. You will not regret it. The human body reacts to pressure and stress. The heart beats faster and breathing quickens. No one is immune. Jack Nicklaus, who has won more major championships than any golfer in history, says pressure creates tension, and when you're tense, you want to get your task over and done with as fast as possible. The more you hurry in golf, the worse you probably will play, which leads to even heavier pressure and greater tension. Tennis star Arthur Ashe says, "We have a natural tendency to invest more energy when we are under pressure. But when tension rises, two things happen. The feet can't move and the diaphragm collapses. It's automatic. It's in the genetic code." So you can understand why pressure gets a bad name. But the truth of the matter is that pressure can bring out either the best in you or the worst, depending on what your relationship is to that pressure. The book also shares a publication from the first sports psychologist, Ken Revisa, a study on the experiences of athletes during their greatest moments in sport. And he found that more than 80% of athletes said that they felt no fear of failure. They weren't thinking about their performance because they were immersed in the activity itself. So they were playing, quote, in the zone. And if you haven't heard of that before, well, now you have. But the probability of achieving the outcome that you want increases when you let go of that need to have it. So again, taking our focus away from the outcome and focusing more on the process and being immersed in the activity itself, getting into that kind of flow state, being in the zone, is really going to help improve your chances of being able to perform under pressure in those types of situations. So now that we have a bit of a better understanding about what pressure, psychological pressure is, the factors that contribute to creating these circumstances for athletes, it's also really important to then talk a little bit about some strategies to help athletes cope with those types of pressures. And so you can imagine that there's many strategies that athletes can use to manage performance pressure, whether that be big games, practices, playoffs, these types of scenarios. And you can talk about, you know, visualization and breathing techniques, I think are two of the more common ones, which are great. And I've used both with my own experience in hockey playing, but also with the athletes that I'm now coaching as well. And so let's just start quickly with some discussion around visualization. So visualization is an opportunity for you to essentially mentally rehearse how you want to feel and how you want to play in various situations, getting a little bit deeper into what's going through your head during those moments. What emotions are you feeling? How are you feeling physically? So for me, you know, I would always visualize playing very strong and powerful, but remaining calm and confident in the way that I'm playing, and also still feeling very flexible and fluid, because as a goalie, of course, you want to be strong, but you also need to be flexible as well, right? So I would actually, before games, take some time to visualize how it is I wanted to feel and perform in the game coming up. So this is for sure a great strategy that could potentially help you with coping with some of these pressure situations, especially if you work on implementing this into your pre-practice or your pre-game routine. That way it is becoming more of a consistent part of your process for getting into that peak performance state. And of course, breathing techniques are a really big one as well. There's a lot of things in sports that are outside of our control. We can't control what our teammates are doing, what our coach is saying or thinking, what the other coach is saying or doing, the other team, the refs, any of these things. They're so far out of our control. And it's really easy to focus on those things because they frustrate us or things aren't going our way. But at the end of the day, I'm not going to be able to change what call the ref makes. And me getting emotional about it is not going to help anyone at all. So having something to come back to where you are in control is going to be really key. It's going to help you to stay in the moment. And of course, we can always control our breathing. So I do more of a box breathing technique. This is really going to help to release tension from the body whenever you might be feeling it. And specifically wherever you hold it. So for myself, I hold a lot of my tension in my neck and my shoulders, but other people hold tension in other areas of their body. So for me, I kind of mix visualization and breathing, but you can of course just use one or the other. It's totally up to you. But for breathing, specifically box breathing technique, it's basically just breathing in slow for 5 seconds, holding at the top for 3 or 4 seconds, whatever you choose, and then releasing the breath slowly for 5 seconds and holding at the bottom for 3 or 4 seconds. And you do this repeatedly until you can really start to feel that your body has start to relax a little bit more. You're not feeling as anxious or as nervous or stressed or whatever emotions that you might be feeling in that moment. And that's how you know that it's having a positive effect on your physiology and, of course, your mental and emotional well-being too. So those are two really great techniques that I think all athletes, coaches, anyone in general, honestly, could just benefit from. But if athletes are consistently performing poorly under pressure, then it actually usually has more to do with the mental side of the game than the physical side. Because if you take your worst and your best performance from this past season, I'm pretty sure that your skill level and your physicality is relatively in the same area. But the biggest difference is how you show up in that game mentally and emotionally. And so, of course, there's something that's a little bit deeper that needs to be addressed at this point. And truthfully, the best way to overcome that obstacle is to work with a sports psychologist or a mental performance coach, because they're going to be able to help you uncover specifically what might be holding you back in that instance. Because at the end of the day, I've said this already before, and I'm sure I've said it in the previous episode that we talked about playoff pressure, but pressure is in the brain of the beholder. So it's really important to learn to view pressure as a challenge that you get to meet rather than it being a threat of defeat. So, you know, pressure is neither inherently good nor inherently bad. It comes down to the relationship that you have with pressure and pressure situations. And this can possibly be based on some of the previous negative experiences that you have relating to these types of pressure situations, and that can actually impact how you're showing up now, and also impacts your own expectations of yourself as to whether you feel that you're going to be able to achieve that goal or not.
And now for a quick word from our sponsor. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. Please play responsibly.
So, how is it that athletes are going to be able to incorporate these strategies into their game routines to stay focused and to remain composed under pressure? I think the most important and key word here is routine. Okay? It depends on what is going to be best for you and how you best prepare for competition. So, for example, when I was playing, I developed a game day routine that was consistent but flexible and not rigid or set in stone, as some people tend to have very strict pre-game or pre-competition routines. And I think the issue with having such a rigid type of pre-game routine is that if something goes wrong, if you don't get to the rink in time, or if you've had, you know, a bad day, or, you know, something happens that all of a sudden kind of throws you for like an emotional roller coaster, let's say, it's not necessarily going to be very easy
for you to adapt your routine to those circumstances and be able to get into the proper state to play at your best. So, like I said, I tried to make sure that I had a routine that was consistent but allowed flexibility depending on the circumstances of the day. So, typically, I would tape my stick, I would do some ball work, like juggling and stuff like this, and then I would go foam roll, stretch out before we would go out and do like a team warm up together, and I would also sit in the stands for a while and visualize how I wanted to be showing up in the upcoming competition. So the reason I mention this specifically is because there's days where there's like snowstorms, for example, that we had, and we ended up getting to the rink late. And sometimes you have to cut certain things out of that routine. So for me, it was no problem. And it wasn't like I was doing ball work for a certain amount of minutes or foam rolling for a certain amount of minutes or anything like this. But I did it to the point where I felt confident and I felt strong and good and emotionally and physically felt the way that I wanted to be feeling before stepping out onto the ice. So that is my first recommendation, like somehow implementing these things into your routine, making sure that routine is consistent, but also has some room for flexibility as well, so you can adapt to the circumstances of the day. So if you already have a pregame routine in place, that's great. So for those of you that don't have one figured out yet, try to think of this pregame routine like an algorithm or a code for a computer. So if something is not working, it doesn't mean that it does not work for you. It doesn't mean that it's failure, but it just means that you might have to make some adjustments for it to begin to work for you moving forward. So it's kind of like an experiment with yourself, more or less, so you can actually work on seeing which strategies help you to prepare, which ones positively impact your performance, and also being able to note which ones maybe take away from your ability to perform. And then figuring out the best way that you can incorporate these strategies into your preparation for competitions, and also how you can implement these into your game as well. So, for example, having something to do either between shifts or during intermissions. So if maybe you had a bad period or a bad shift, that you can really try to get back on track rather quickly, rather than letting your performance spiral downwards because, you know, one bad thing led to another, and now I'm thinking negatively about myself and my performance, and now my performance is really bad, and then it's really hard to recover once you've gotten so far down that rabbit hole. So that's what I would recommend to anybody who has difficulty performing in pressure situations, or maybe you put pressure on yourself, right? Take some time to figure out where that pressure is coming from for you and how you might be able to adapt to it and implement a couple of these strategies to help you improve how you're playing in these circumstances. And of course, alternatively, if you don't have a performance coach with your team, feel free to reach out if you have any questions. I absolutely love to answer them, and I'm more than happy to share some more information here. But at some point, you know, all athletes are going to be exposed to pressure situations and high stakes games at some point in their career. So one of the other key factors here is mental resiliency. You have to have this factor to truly learn how to navigate performance pressure and to overcome adversity. So in the same study that I was talking about earlier, the authors shared that in previous studies and lab experiments suggest that training with psychological pressure could prevent choking under pressure. And Baumeister suggested that acclimating athletes to the psychological pressures of performance situations might benefit athletes and reduce choking under pressure. Lewis and Linder studied acclimatization training, acclimatization training that intentionally places participants under pressure to familiarize them with the feeling. The study showed reduced choking and enhanced performance after acclimatization training. This is in a way a specific type of resilience training. So if you've ever watched the movie Rocky, or if you've heard this quote, then you'll know it's not about how hard you're hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. And that's essentially, to me, at least the way I'm perceiving this, the study is that by exposing athletes to certain types of psychological stress or pressure helps them to kind of build up that resiliency muscle in their brains so that they learn that sometimes things are going to get hard, but I'm able to overcome those. I'm able to work through those. And at the end of the day, I'm going to come out on the winning side of this. And so there's many things I think that can be done to build resilience in athletes, such as, you know, setting process-oriented goals, always working to focus on the process, of course, and maintaining a growth mindset or working to develop and maintain that growth mindset, and also reframing negative thoughts. I think this one is actually really, really important in terms of actually beginning to cultivate a growth mindset. But reframing is something that I've done a really long time now. And honestly, it's been super beneficial, not just in sports, but in life in general. So if you haven't learned or heard about reframing, I highly recommend to take a little bit of a deeper dive there. But coaches can actually work to train athletes through these types of pressure situations to try to replicate in practices the competitive level that athletes will ultimately be experiencing during games and competitions as well. So I think coaches already have a pretty good idea of how to replicate some of those things. If not, I'm more than happy to do also a little bit of a deeper dive here on some of the things that can be used positively for coaches. So when we're talking about replicating psychological pressure, of course, don't want it to be damaging in any way, but to be supportive for long-term growth and development. But to discuss a little bit further about mental resilience, Gary Mack hit the nail on the head in his book, Mind Gym. So he defined 7 characteristics that contribute to a mentally tough or a mentally resilient athlete. So we'll call them the 7 C's, and I'm going to quickly run through each of them. So the first one is competitive. Surprise, surprise. So professional golfer Nancy Lopez said, "A competitor will find a way to win. Competitors take bad breaks and use them to drive themselves that much harder. Quitters take bad breaks and use them as reasons to give up." It's a lot easier at the end of the day to give up than it is to keep going through some of these adversities. So being a competitive athlete and a competitive person is really important in building mental resilience. Second C is confident. Tiger Woods, we all know who that guy is, so don't have to explain, but he said that every time I play, in my own mind, I'm the favorite. So every time that you're stepping out on the ice or the field or the court, you need to be confident and have major self-belief that you're going to be able to play at the level that you're looking to play at as well. Third C is control. So successful athletes control their emotions and behavior. They focus on what they can control and don't allow things that are out of their control to affect them. Something that we've already touched on a little bit earlier and I've also covered in previous episodes as well, but focusing on the controllables is extremely important in sports and in life, especially if you want to focus on moving the nail a little bit further every single day. Because if we start to look and focus on the things that we can't control, it's very quickly easy to become a negative and pessimistic type of person. The fourth C is committed. So focusing your time and energy on your goals and your dreams and being highly motivated and self-directed. Very, very important. It's so easy to falter, especially on like commitment when nobody else is looking. I think that's really important to point out as well. Fifth is composure. Yeah, knowing how to stay focused and deal with adversity. In hockey, you know, the one who retaliates is usually the one that gets penalized. So it's important to be able to manage your emotions and your actions and to maintain that composure when things get tough, when emotions get high, and maybe the gloves are coming off. Sixth is courage. You have to be willing to take risks. It takes courage to grow up and achieve your potential. Yeah, 100%. It also takes courage to admit that you don't have all the answers and to be open to getting help from the people around you as well. And last but certainly not least is consistency. Something that all of my athletes strive to be and say that they want to become, but only the best are going to be able to manage to become consistent performers, especially through adversity, because it all starts by knowing yourself and learning what your strengths and weaknesses are, understanding how to use them and how to improve them, and also knowing how you want to feel to perform at your best every single day. So the self-awareness level is very, very crucial when it comes to becoming a consistent athlete and performing at your best every time that you step out on the ice. And I'll close this part off just by saying, you know, like many people think that characteristics can't be trained just like any other skill. But please don't be fooled by that misconception, because they certainly can. And a performance coach can also help your athletes to cultivate those types of characteristics and make them stronger, more resilient athletes. And also, this is what your coaches are able to do for you as well. So if you're maybe not too happy with the practice that your coach put together, well, I'm sure if you talk to your coach about why they structured it that way, it probably also has something to do with a little bit more than the specific skills that you're working on that day, but also trying to cultivate some of these other very important characteristics in their athletes as well, such as hard work, never give up attitude, these types of things. So something to consider for athletes who might not already be aware of some of those things. And last, I will discuss a little bit about how we can actually harness pressure and use that as motivation. I've said it once, twice, maybe five times already before, but pressure, yeah, it gets a bad name, but it can also bring out the best in athletes. And elite athletes know that too much pressure is a bad thing, but not enough pressure is equally as bad. So first, it's going to be important that you reframe the relationship that you have to pressure first and foremost by beginning to see these situations not as threats, but as challenges for you to step up your game. So I think specifically to like how I think of pressure from a goalie's and my own specific experience. I remember on games when I didn't feel confident in myself, if I wasn't where I needed to be, like mentally, emotionally, or physically to perform at my best, if the other team got a breakaway, my first thought was, oh fuck. But on the flip side of this coin, if I was in a great state, if I was really ready for this game and I was really dialed in and feeling very much in that flow state, if someone from the other team had that breakaway, the self-dialogue was so different. It wasn't, oh fuck, it was fuck yeah, like let's go. So understanding that how you speak to yourself is going to be a bit of a doorway into understanding yourself a little bit more, and how you're relating to these types of situations is going to be important, because that's where you can really start to identify where you want to change some of this dialogue with yourself and work on that reframing piece. And then ultimately what you're trying to do is to channel that pressure into this more positive energy, and trying to use that as fuel to elevate your game during those critical moments where, okay, the other team has a breakaway, I'm ready to go, let's do this. Not, you know, thinking, okay, I can't really do this. Oh, I didn't really do well here, so I'm not going to be able to, and then just kind of going down the rabbit hole and dragging your performance 6 feet below. So that is how athletes can work on thriving under pressure rather than breaking under it. So I hope that you found this episode to be of value today. Again, thank you so much for tuning in on Tuesday instead of Monday. I appreciate you. And if you have not already, as always, please leave a rating or a review of the podcast, or of course, share this with friends, share it on social. And if you have any sort of feedback, please feel free to send me a DM on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, wherever you find me. I'd love to get your feedback. And if there's anything that you'd like to hear in the next upcoming weeks, again, your feedback is really appreciated. So thank you again so much, and I'll see you next week.